Amen. You can have a seat. We're going to be partaking of communion today. You don't have to be a member here at the church. Just have your heart ready. And so we've been talking about what a great salvation. Are you glad that you're saved? And so a lot of people, when they hear the word salvation, they only think of forgiveness of sins, their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and going to heaven when they die. And how many of you know how awesome and how wonderful that really is? And really, if God had wanted to, he could have stopped there, and you and I should be just happy about that. In other words, if he would have stopped there and said, I'm going to forgive you of all your sin, and I'm going to make it so you can go to heaven, we should have been like, we would have been, whoa, that's good, right? Because there's no way we could have gotten rid of our sins. But are you grateful? Do I have anybody grateful that you know that salvation is all inclusive? And so we've been looking at some words. We've been looking at the word soteria. And we've been looking and seeing what that means, because salvation is all inclusive. And so let's just review real quick and see what that word is. And I don't know if you've got that stuff up there from Reverend Opal's healing school, but soteria, it's a word for salvation. It means deliver, health, salvation, save, and saving. And then we looked at the word sozo. It means to deliver, to protect, to heal, to preserve, save self, to do well, to be made whole. Everybody say, I'm delivered, I'm healthy, I'm saved, hallelujah, I'm doing well, I'm preserved, and I've been made whole. And then even in the old covenant, the word yasha, it means to open wide or free. It means to be safe, to be free, avenge, defend, deliver, help, preserve, replace, be safe, bring salvation, save, and get the victory. Have you been yashed? Have you been sozoed? Are you walking in soteria? Amen. You are saved. How did you get saved? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8 says it's by grace through faith. How many know by grace there, that word grace means the free gift. In other words, you couldn't earn your salvation. You couldn't get good enough for your salvation. So that's, you couldn't get good enough to get your sins forgiven, but you couldn't get good enough to get any of it. It is by grace. Come on, it's by grace, but it's through something. It's through faith, and that word faith means that we receive. So it's by grace through faith. And how do we get it? Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. So you got to do what to get your salvation to operate? You have to believe in your heart. Whatsoever a man believes in his heart and does what? Says with his mouth. Well, why do I got to say it? Well, it's the law that God has put into order. It's the law that God brought to the earth so that he could bless mankind. He needs your words. Your words are not trying to talk him into something. A lot of times when people hear a confession message, they say, oh, you're just trying to talk God into something. You don't have to talk God into something that he's already done. Your faith doesn't move God. Your words don't move God. God's already been moved. He was so moved that he sent his only begotten son. And Jesus said, no man takes my life, I'm laying it down. You don't have to move him, he's already been moved. He was so moved for you and I that he went to the cross. He was so moved for you and I that he went into the bowels of hell. He was so moved that the Holy Ghost went when it was enough and raised him up and sat Jesus at the right hand of the Father and put the blood on the mercy seat. You don't have to move God, he's already been moved. And so don't mistake your faith for moving God, for twisting God's arm, and prayer is not that either. And your words are not that. Your words causes a confession unto something. And so what happens is that when you believe something in your heart and you say something in your mouth, it gives God the ability that then to come and to move. This is what I know. The Bible says, talking about the forgiveness part of the new birth, the word of God says this, if you won't confess me before men, I won't confess you before my Father. But if you will confess me, then I will confess you. Why? Jesus is the high priest of our profession. And so words are not to, and I know that, you know, sometimes you hear people say, well, you know, don't be a part of that name it and claim it bunch. Well, then don't get saved. Your words are not important. Just say whatever you want. Well, then you'll get what you say. The Lord has made a way. So salvation is obtained through, it's brought into reality through believing and confessing. And what is salvation? Well, we looked last week. Is anybody glad to know that you are healed? Have you received Jesus as your healer? Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many know he wants you to do well? He wants you to do well. Beloved, I pray or wish, I pray that you would prosper and be in health, even as you're, I mean, he wants you to be healed, he wants you to do well, and he wants you to be whole. And so today what we want to concentrate on, and right before we take partake of communion, I want to talk to you about the other three things that I want to talk to you about protection. How many of you know we need protected in this hour that we live in? I want to talk to you about being rescued. Have you ever needed rescued? And I want to talk to you about you're delivered. So I want to talk to you about your rescue. I want to talk to you about protection. I want to talk to you about your deliverance. All a part of your salvation. How do you get rescued? How do you get divine protection? How do you get divine deliverance? You get it through salvation. In other words, it already belongs to you. So it's not like something you're working at. Again, it's something that you receive. You and I need, in the hour that we live in, more than ever before, more than any other generation, we have more need of this part of salvation than we ever have before. We need the ability to be rescued. We need protection like never before. And God is able to deliver you out of all of your trouble. But what is it a part of? You don't have to talk God into it. It's not a special thing. It's part of your salvation. It's part of your salvation. As much as you have a right now to go to heaven because you're saved, you have a right to rescue. You have a right to safety. You have a right to be delivered in every area of your life. Come on, everybody shout, I'm saved. Ooh, I'm just so excited about this. Matthew chapter 8, verses 24 and 25. So we're going to look at this. This is where that word salvation is. And we're going to look at a couple storms, natural storms. And we're going to see how they were saved. And so, well, we'll just start in Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. And when he was entered into a ship, and his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest of the sea, insomuch the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And the disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. There's that word. Lord, save us. We perish. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful, of you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Verse 27, but the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And so here, they were in trouble. How many of you know a lot of these were fishermen? They were used to being on the sea. So these weren't big sissy babies. They weren't afraid of storms. They lived in storms. And so this one came up. So I think, you know, maybe they exaggerated a little bit when they were like, don't you care if we die? How many of you know the Lord cares if you die? How many of you know the Lord, even though that's going to send you right to heaven, if your work's not done here on the earth, he wants you to stay here. And when you die, you ought to leave on your terms, not on the devil's terms. Amen? But they were afraid. Fear had entered in. And so salvation, you know, that they called out for salvation. And so how many of you know when they called out for salvation, salvation was activated? Lord, save us. That would be like someone, Lord, forgive me my sin. Lord, I'm in a situation here that I need rescued. And they use the word save. Lord, rescue me. Lord, save me. And so Jesus didn't deliberate because he is salvation. And whenever salvation shows up, whenever you believe in salvation, whenever you ask for salvation, salvation begins to work. And salvation did what here? He rebuked the wind and the waves and everything calmed down. He brought peace to the storm. They were rescued. It's part of salvation. And so I don't know what you need rescued from today. All I know is the Lord is salvation and he's already rescued you and you need to believe in it. Come on. Yeah, but I caused this. Yeah, but my spouse caused this. How many of you know it doesn't matter who caused it, it seems here. When the devil shows up or when circumstances show up, if you'll invoke your salvation, if you'll believe in your salvation, peace will come to it. Come on, somebody shout, I'm saved. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Same thing, except for this is just Peter. We can start in verse 24. How many of you know, so Peter, they see Jesus walking on the water and he said, be of good cheer. It's I, don't be afraid. Verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be you, bid me come to the water. And he came and he said, come. And Peter was come down on the ship and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. He began to sink, crying, Lord, save me. He was sinking. Have you ever felt like in life you're sinking? Because, and here, Peter was walking on the water. I mean, he was in the will of God. Because Jesus said, come. He's walking on the water. But sometimes the devil, remember what happened? The winds and the waves were hitting him. Don't have to raise your hand, but anybody feel like some winds and some waves are hitting him? What's the best thing for you to do? Invoke your salvation. Lord, save me. And I always, when I preach on this, I always take this one, help me, Jesus. But really, he is invoking his salvation. And for us, on this side of the cross, when you feel like the winds and the waves are hitting you, even though Peter got afraid and he opened the door for the enemy and he lost his faith, in other words, he began to look more at the circumstances than at the Lord and the word come, he began to sink. But even if you feel like you're sinking, I encourage you, I want you, I demand that you say, Lord, save me. Why would you? Well, I know better than this. I'm just going to drown. It's all my fault. I'm just going to drown. I should have known better. Mama said I made my bed hard. I need to lie in it. Well, that's just stupid. That's just stupid. Come on, help me, Jesus, but better say, Lord, save me. In other words, what are you asking for? I need rescue here. Aren't you glad he has more than a life preserver? He grabbed him and he picked him up and he put him back on the water. Come on, rescue is part of your salvation. But you're not going to get it unless you believe for it, unless you say it. Come on, the Lord will save you. The Lord will rescue you. Has he already saved you? Has he already rescued you? What do you got to do? I got to believe for it. What am I looking for? We'll talk about what we're exhorting. We'll look for the open door. Amen. God's got something for you because it's part of salvation. Are you glad that God has decided to rescue you from all of your troubles? It's part of your salvation. And then let's go ahead and look at this because these three kind of go to hand in hand. The next one I want to look at is protection. I'm so grateful that in the hour we live in, I know that this is part of my rights and my privileges in God. When you understand salvation, it puts you at ease. It puts you in a place of rest. When you know that it's all inclusive, you know that God has taken care of every part of your life and you don't have to be stressed out and you don't have to be worried. And so protection, 2 Thessalonians 3:3 out of the NIV says this, but the Lord is faithful. Are you glad? And he will strengthen. Are you glad? He will strengthen you and protect you, that word protect, from the evil one. That word protect is salvation. He will protect you. He will save you from the evil one. He will protect you. He will save you from the evil one. And so what is the evil one? Well, that's the devil. Well, okay, you're protected from the devil. But how many of you know it's talking about the works of the devil? So anything that's stealing, anything that's trying to kill you, how many of you know you need protection from something trying to kill you? You need protection from someone trying to destroy you. Are you saved? Then you are protected. I said, are you saved? Then you are protected. And so we can look at this because I just want to remind you today. I want to stir you up before we take communion and celebrate these three things we're talking about. I want to remind you of overall, God has always, because even in the old covenant, there's the word salvation. And we looked at that and everything that it means. And one of the greatest protection psalms is Psalms 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say, what do I got to do? What is that? That's confession. What are you confessing? You're confessing your salvation. He is my refuge and my fortress. We could just stop there. He is your refuge and your what? When you're in a fortress, how do you feel? Protected, safe. How do you get there? I got to get under the shadow of the Almighty. And what do I got to do? I got to say something. I got to say something. Well, isn't salvation automatic? Was your new birth automatic? Just because you was born and because you're so beautiful? Just because you thought that God was real? No. You have to do what? You have to believe in your heart and you got to believe something. Do you believe that this is part of your salvation? Then what do you got to do? Say so. Are you trying to talk God into it? No, he's already been talked into it. He already decided. What are you doing? You're activating something here on the earth. Just look at it as I'm saying something. If you can just see yourself. And then when you say those things, then suddenly angels appear. Because they hearken to the voice of the word of God. Suddenly, like a fort is built around you. A pavilion. Amen. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, the noisome pestilence. He'll cover you with his feathers. Under his wing, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be a shield and a buckler. You'll not be afraid of. So I'm not afraid of terrorism. I'm not afraid of the terror by night, the arrow that flies by day. So day and night, I'm not afraid. Why? Because I'm saved. Because he wants to protect me. Nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 can fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but what? My eyes shall only behold and see the reward or the recompense of the wicked. I could just go on and on. Well, let's go on. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, the Most High, my habitation. Therefore shall no evil. How many? None. Neither shall any, what? How many? No plagues come near my dwelling. He has given his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They'll bear you up in their hands that you won't even dash your foot against a stone. Thou, you'll tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion, the dragon. You'll trample under feet because he has set his love upon me. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he's known my name. Do y'all know the name of Jesus? Why? Because you're saved. He shall call upon me, I'll answer him, and I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. My salvation. Salvation has come. Salvation is a person, and that person, Jesus, lives on the inside of you. You're not just saved. Salvation lives in you. And all that salvation is available for you. And you got to say something and believe. And all of Psalms 91 will work in your life. Amen. Because you're protected. Hallelujah. Just real quickly, let's look at these. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. the righteous run into it and they are safe. Everybody shout, I'm safe. Hallelujah. Psalms 31:20. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of men. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. See, no weapon formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, what do you got to do? Just condemn it. Just condemn it. Just condemn it. What is it? A secret place. And then it becomes a pavilion. And then it becomes a safe place. When you go to a safe place, what's a safe place do? Protect you from the one who's after you. Amen? Are you protected? Yeah, when you're in the secret place, when you believe in your salvation, and when you talk about your salvation, something happens. One more. Oh, maybe a few more. Psalms 32:7. You are my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from my troubles. Thou shalt compass me about with the song of deliverance. Think about that. Psalm 61:3. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from my enemy. Everybody confess this. The Lord is my strong tower. The Lord is my pavilion. The Lord is my shelter. I am protected. I am safe from the tongue of evil men, from the weapons formed against me, from terrorism, from anything the devil would try to do. I am protected. I am safe. I am secure. Amen. As secure as you are in your salvation about going to heaven is as sure as you should be in your safety. Amen. Amen. And see, when you believe this kind of stuff, then the Holy Ghost will begin to talk to you. He'll begin to lead you and he'll begin to guide you. And you've got to obey that still small voice, that perception, that knowing. Because when you begin to believe this, the Lord arranges your steps and keeps you out of harm's way. He'll keep you safe all the time. And you need to believe that. Amen. You need to believe that. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. I mean, we could go back. I love looking at this. And as we partake in communion, I was thinking about when the Lord dealt with me to partake, to celebrate our salvation. I was thinking about the Israelites in Egypt. Even when the curse is all around you, even if everybody else in where you live, or you know, in our country, if everybody else went crazy and decided, you know what, I don't want to serve God, I don't want to have nothing to do with God, I don't believe this anymore. If everybody else went crazy, you still have a covenant with the Lord. Are you in a covenant? Has Jesus made that covenant? By his own blood. And do you believe in that covenant? Amen. Well, the children of Israel had a covenant. Because remember, when the slavery got too tough, they began to cry out to God. And they began to say, you know, have mercy on us. Remember your covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I mean, they invoked covenant. They knew he was a covenant-keeping God. When they got tired of all their mess, they said, let's talk about our covenant again. And when they began to talk their covenant, God answered. And he sent him a deliverer. Well, he sent them Moses, but he sent you Jesus. I said, he sent them Moses, but he sent you Jesus. So love the children of Israel, but we won up. I mean, we got the son. They got a servant. We got a son. And he didn't argue. Ours didn't argue. Ours came willingly. But because they invoked the covenant and the deliverer was there, remember what happened. When the curse began to come, when the plagues began to come, how many of you know when Egypt got flies, there were no flies in the children of Israel's food? There was no fly. I mean, wouldn't that be, oh, that'd just be nasty. You know, flies are just gross. And if you got a ton of them around you, I grew up on a farm, pig farm. We had lots of flies. They're just nasty. The curse was all around them. The plague was all around them, but they didn't have no flies. The cattle of the Israelites began to die, but none of their cattle died. Right in the middle of a mess, they were being protected. Everything that was theirs was being protected. When it was so dark you couldn't see your hand in front of your face, the lights were on in Goshen. Why? There's a distinction between them and us. Come on, there still should be a distinction between those that are saved and those that are not saved. You are saved, and all that salvation is come to your house, and it's come to your life. You need to believe that and expect that. Amen. I mean, you know, when it hailed and ruined all the crops, it didn't hail. They were protected. When the firstborn died, there was nobody of the firstborn. Why? Because they partook of the covenant meal. Put blood on the doorpost. All I'm telling you is that you're saved. And that just like the children of Israel, which was a type and a shadow, you've got the real deal. I said, you've got the real deal. No flies are coming to my house. And you know, no darkness in my house. There's no hail coming to my house. Amen. I'm not going to lose. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Why? Because I'm in a covenant and I've been saved. I entered into salvation and I also got a covenant. And part of my covenant rights is I've been protected. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you glad that you're protected? And then the last one I want to look at is you've been delivered. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. 2 Timothy 4, verse 18. And the Lord shall deliver me. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. How many? Can you think of an evil work that he won't deliver you out of? No. And preserve me. Part of salvation is being preserved. And preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. Psalms 107:20 says, he sent his word, which is who? Jesus. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. He delivered them from destructions. He delivered them from their destructions. He always will deliver you out of your destructions. Amen. I'm going to make you happy. Psalms 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord, he heard me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. Amen? So there should be nothing to make you and I afraid, because the Lord has delivered us from all of our fears. Why? Because we're protected. Why? Because we know he's going to rescue us. Amen? Hallelujah. Psalms 34. Let's look at verse number 17. The righteous cry. Are you righteous? The Lord does what? He hears. And he delivers them out of all of their troubles. How many of their troubles? Except the ones you caused. Except the ones your spouse caused. Except the ones your children caused. Well, you say, well, Pastor Mark, you know, sometimes people need to learn their lessons. I just believe. That the Lord is going to use it to teach you a lesson. Well, the lesson you ought to learn is I want delivered. Amen. Now, am I advocating you to make your messes and do your messes? No, but the lesson you should learn is the Lord will deliver you out of all your trouble. Amen. And then the lesson is you don't want to get back in that trouble. It's the goodness of God that'll lead people to repentance. Come on, let's just believe with people that he'll deliver them. Come on, but are you righteous? Are you righteous? When you pray, does the Lord hear you? This is the confidence that I have in him, that if I ask anything according to his will, I know that he hears me. And if I know that he hears me, I know that I got it. I know. What do I know? When I'm in trouble, I'm righteous, and I'm going to ask the Lord to deliver me. I'm going to ask him to deliver me because I'm saved. And what's he going to do? He's going to hear me. He's going to hear me. And if I know that he hears me, I know he's going to do what? He's going to deliver me out of all of my trouble. One more, 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord does what? Out of them all. What's the theme of these three verses? Deliver out of them all. Deliver out of them all. Amen. Are you delivered? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10. Who delivered us from so great a death? Past tense, have you been delivered? Are you saved? Then you are delivered. You're not trying to get delivered, you are delivered. He delivered us from so great a death, and he does deliver. What does that mean? Right now, what do you got going on in your life? You need some. What does deliverance mean? It means he gets you out of a mess and pulls you over into his best. And he'll get you out of something that's troubling you, and he'll pull you out of it. Not because you're so awesome. Not because you deserve it, but because of what Jesus did. Because you didn't deserve to get saved from your sin either. In other words, well, I just believe, we got to act right. Yeah, I believe all that too. But if you get into a mess, what he says to you is, I have delivered you and I will, I'm delivering you right now. In whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. So listen to me, your deliverance is covered past, present, and future. Well, you know, Pastor Mark, if people get in trouble, shouldn't they just, you know? No, listen to me. We're not talking about necessarily people on purpose doing things anyway, because we're not a bunch of people that are trying to do things on purpose to see what we can get away with. But what I will tell you is God is a deliverer, and it's part of your salvation. Come on, everybody say this. I've been delivered, I'm getting delivered, and I will be delivered. Amen, all the time. Why? Because it's part of your salvation. Colossians 1:13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Listen, I am so grateful that we've been delivered from anything the devil has done, is thinking about doing, is planning to do. And we've been delivered from his mess into the kingdom of God. I've been delivered from darkness into light. I've been delivered from sickness into health. I've been delivered from poverty into wealth. I've been delivered from my mess. Amen. I'm no longer afraid because I'm protected. He rescues me. So I'm grateful today about salvation. And I want you, as we partake of communion, if I could have the ushers come, you don't have to be a member of the church. So everything is right between you and the Lord. We're going to partake of the Lord's meal together. If go ahead and serve.